been a couple of years since I last ministered God's word to you from the pulpit. And I don't know if some of you recall, we were in the middle of a series. I was interrupted by that when an intern came and filled our pulpit and has been doing it ever since. We are very thankful to God for that. But we were in the middle of a series. We were preaching out of the 23rd Psalm. And so I'd like to go back to the 23rd Psalm this morning. And so if you would turn with me to Psalm 23, probably the most familiar of all the Psalms, the Psalm of the Divine Shepherd, Psalm 23. Let us read God's word. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou hast anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. When we read the Psalms that were written by David, and most of the Psalms were, there is a very important thing to remember, and that is to consider David, the writer of the psalm, inspired by the Holy Spirit, to consider him as a type of Christ. The most familiar type of Christ that is presented through Scripture of the man David, the most familiar one is him as a king. He ruled over his people in righteousness during the golden years of Israel, as Christ rules over his people in righteousness. But before David was a king, he was a soldier and a military leader, battling the enemies of God, fighting evil and sin, and defeating them, just as Christ has victory over sin and of evil. But even before that, we see David as a shepherd tending his flock. And here we see Christ caring and tending to his people. And it is in this role of the shepherd, it is here in the 23rd Psalm that we have the words of the psalmist that is recalling those earlier years of his life, the years of his youth, when he tended sheep out in the wilderness. And it is recalling those earlier years of his life that he uses here to express the truths about our Lord Jesus Christ, the divine shepherd. In God's word, in Scripture, the references of sheep is an analogy or a semblance to God's people. And it is a very common one, both in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. And probably the most familiar one would be the analogy of the lost sheep that has wandered away and then is found and brought back into the fold. And from that analogy of the sheep, we have a picture of salvation of the lost sinner being brought into the household of God, being brought into the kingdom and in the family of God. But in the psalm before us this morning, we have a picture of a child of God under the care of the Father. And I want to specifically focus on the first part of verse 3. He restoreth my soul. And it is the restoration of the Christian that I want to deal with in our time this morning. David knew all too well, even as a child of God, of the need for continual restoration, of constant correcting, of reestablishing his relationship with God, the repairing of the soul. David knew that very well. And one only needs to skim through some of the Psalms and read of how David cried out to God for restoration. David, the one that we know as a man after God's own heart, the one that is an example to us for one that walks so close to God. And even David knew that his relationship with God needed restoration continually throughout his life. This is sanctification. This is the work of God in our hearts and in our lives. In our life. This is the process of Christian growth. Well, let's see what the psalmist was thinking when he penned these words, the restoration of the soul. Now, those who are acquainted with sheep, as the psalmist certainly was, understand the term of a cast sheep or a cast down sheep. And it refers to a sheep that has turned over on its back and cannot get up. It cannot get up by itself. It must be a very pitiful sight. I don't know if anybody's ever seen a sheep on its back not being able to get up, but it is a very desperate situation for the sheep, and it must be a very pitiful sight. On its back, its legs in the air, struggling frantically to get up and without success. And the only hope of regaining its upright position is by the hands of the shepherd. What happens sometimes when when sheep lie down to be comfortable, they will roll over a bit too far, and their center of gravity shifts, and they find themselves helplessly upside down. Gases begin to build up in the rumen, and the blood circulation begins to be cut off. And in warm and hot weather, the sheep will die in a few hours. In a cooler weather, it may be a few days. And also, of course, a sheep in that particular position is very vulnerable to predators. And so if the sheep does not die on its own, it shall certainly be killed. Let's look at some conditions that will lead a sheep to find itself cast down. But before we do, there's another important thing that we need to see. When we talk about being cast down, when we talk about the Christian being cast down or downcast, we're not merely talking about an emotional state. We're not talking about the emotional state of being sad or being depressed or unhappy or melancholy, and therefore we need to be restored and we cry out to God. No, what I think we'll see in our time this morning is that the state of being cast down is a consequence of sin. It is a very serious situation. It is a consequence of disobedience to God, a desire for the law and longing for the things of the world, and then finding ourselves in serious trouble. That is the state of the Christian that is downcast. Well, the first condition that we see in a sheep finding itself being cast down is that there is a desire for the sheep to find the soft and the comfortable place to lie down. And this is usually a slight hollow in the ground, a place where the sheep senses safety. Soft ground, does not want to lay down on something hard or rocky. And so they'll find themselves in the slight hollow in the ground. But the problem is it's very susceptible there. The sheep is in danger then of rolling over, and sometimes does. And then the sheep finds itself in that downcast position. We as Christians, very often, maybe even most of the time, we find ourselves choosing the soft and the easy places in life. The easy way, the places that seem to be more desirable for us. It is a very selfish attitude. Let someone else do the fighting while I situate myself as far from the battle as possible. In war, that is known as a coward. Let someone else labor in the heat of the day while I situate myself in a cool and shady spot. We see that as one that is lazy and slothful. Let someone else receive the mocking and the ridicule from the world for standing firm for the truth of God, while I situate myself in a safe position, a position where we do not want to feel humiliated. Jesus Christ calls this hypocrisy, faithless hypocrisy. But then, if I am a true Christian, it suddenly strikes and pierces my heart. And I hear the cock crow three times, and I am cast down to my knees, crying out to God in bitter tears, seeking desperately to be restored. It is on the front lines of the battlefield that we learn bravery, that we learn courage. It is on the front lines of the battlefield that we learn discipline and sacrifice. This is the character of Christ. This is what the Christian needs to seek after. It is through laborious work and hardship that we learn to endure and to be diligent. It is through persecution for the sake of righteousness that we learn humility and self-control. We may well avoid being downcast and trodden, and we may be lifted up to new heights of glory by our Lord, by serving Him with eagerness and with zeal, with a sense of responsibility to God's calling. Another way that a sheep is in danger of being cast down on its back is to have too much wool. Its fleece becomes long, and it becomes heavily matted down. It becomes matted down with mud, with burrs, with manure, with all kinds of other debris that the wool seems to pick up. And then by the mere weight and the encumbrance of all that wool and debris, it will make the sheep prone to rolling over and again finding himself in that downcast position. In Ezekiel chapter 44, verse 17 through 18, we read of the priests that are serving in the tabernacle, that are serving in the temple. We read an instruction there from God that they are not allowed to wear wool when entering into the inner court of the tabernacle, when performing the holy duties of worship and sacrifice. And it goes on to say that they are to dress light and thin. And it goes on to say the reason it is so that they do not perspire. The idea there is that they are to keep clean and pure in the service of God. Sweat, and along with the wool which causes it, was symbolic of carrying sin. And if you recall, it was extremely vital and important that the priests were to enter into the work and the worship of the tabernacle, as it were, without sin. The encumbrance of carrying sin in the presence of God was forbidden, was distasteful to the Lord. It was a great error and sin to go before the Lord unclean. And so we have a picture of the wool on the sheep portraying the old self in the Christian, in the believer. An outward expression of an inward attitude, emphasizing my own desires and our own wants. And just like the sheep, it is my continual contact with the things of the world. As the things of the world cling and multiply, whether it be possessions, worldly thoughts and ideas, all these things that are of the world and not of God, clinging to the wool, clinging to me. This may be well called the Velcro syndrome. They become easily attached until it weighs us down, until it drags us down as unto the pit where we cry out for deliverance. And so the sheep must be continually sheared so as to free him from this burden and from this difficulty. And so the Christian must be stripped and made clean of this encumbrance that keeps him from being able to walk with the Lord. Rather than to be entrenched in the way of the world, we read in God's Word in the words of Paul, the apostle. He exhorts us to cast down high places and everything that raises itself up against the knowledge of God, becoming captive to the obedience of Christ. And like the sheep who takes no pleasure in being sheared, the Christian, more often than not, finds the shearing process in his life very unpleasant and also painful. And sometimes it leaves scars. And yet, he finds it all worthwhile being freed by that cutting edge of the Word of God that sets us back on our feet and on firm ground, and then gives us the direction in which to walk again. The third condition that may lead to a cast sheep is just simple overweight. A sheep that is too fat is not a healthy animal, and it is extremely vulnerable to finding itself with its hoofs pointing north. Fatness is sometimes depicted in Scripture as wealth and earthly fortunes. And how a common trap it is to us, to the human heart, setting our affections on the riches and the fortunes of the world, seeking to be fulfilled by them, and then even placing our confidence in them. We may find ourselves like the rich young ruler, who, when instructed by our Lord Jesus to part with his wealth, he became very grieved and sorrowful because he was fat with riches. Jesus said to him, or said to those around, "It is hard for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven." Or we may find ourselves like the rich fool in the parable that Jesus taught, who, after reasoning with himself, he built big barns to store the fatness of his wealth. And he said to himself, "Soul, you have many goods laid up. Take your ease." And God says to him, "You fool, this night your soul is required of you." And God says, or asks the rhetorical question, "What profiteth a man that he gain the whole world and yet lose his soul?" And both of these examples, both of these men and many like them, have set their hearts on the fatness of their possessions. And they suddenly find themselves turned upside down, helpless and hopeless, without a shepherd. Without a shepherd to save them. But you know, you don't have to be rich to find yourself in this dilemma. You don't have to be rich and wealthy to fall into this trap. For the Word of God emphasizes that it is not the possessions that we own, but it is a condition of the heart. Child of God, where is your heart this morning? And what is the condition of your life? Are you a likely candidate for being cast down? Is your soul cast down even this morning? You know, the restoration by the shepherd for the cast down soul is that he restores you to purity. The soul that has grown foul and black with sin. What good are green pastures when the soul is black? He restores you to peace and temperament. What good is being led by still water when the soul is turbulent and uneasy towards God? How is your soul this morning? How is your heart this morning? Are you finding yourself like an inverted sheep who cannot find a way out of the present circumstances or the conditions of difficulty and helplessness? Perhaps you are encumbered and weighed down by sin and frantically struggling without success to be relieved. Like David, who cried out to God, we too are called to cry out to God in repentance and in trust. It is like the bleating of a sheep that is struggling, crying out to God. He will set you upright. He will set your feet upon a rock that is firm. He will lift you up on high. It is God. It is the Lord Jesus Christ, the great shepherd. He will restore your soul. Let's pray. Lord God, great shepherd of the sheep, it is our prayer this morning that you would create in us a clean heart, O God, that you would renew a right spirit within us. Do not cast us away from thy presence. Do not take thy spirit from me, but restore me the joy of thy salvation. Uphold me with thy willing spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.